Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another interview for Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Boost. Now, in the era that we are living in, where so many of us are either working from home, spending more time at home, away from friends, away from family, away from colleagues, there is nothing more important right now than simply remaining connected. And it could be as simple as an SMS to check in on somebody, a phone call, a five-minute phone call, or even just sending a selfie just to see how each other is going. And obviously those amazing video calls that keep us all connected. Now, here's what's amazing with Boost is when I go on their website and I look at their plans and I think, well, what does $20 a month give me? 20 bucks. What can I get for 20 bucks a month? Well, I'm going to get 5 gigs of data, which is, you know what, in the days where we're spending so much time at home connected to Wi-Fi, that's enough for when I'm out and about. But the most important part here is that you get unlimited calls and text still. In fact, you still get the unlimited international calls to all those countries like Brazil, Canada, Japan, Malaysia, New Zealand, the UK, and so on. So when you think about all of that, for 20 bucks a month, you can still pick up the phone and call your parents, you can call your kids, you can call your best friend or someone you haven't seen in a while. And honestly, during these times, I could not think of anything more important to do than just to check in on each other and see how you are doing. Now, this week, we check in on Fitbit. And in fact, Fitbit's been checking in a bit on us with all the gadgets that we've been wearing from Fitbit. But we speak to the regional director for Australia and New Zealand, Sean Colligan, and we have an amazing chat around the entire Fitbit ecosystem, how it now fits into COVID, and potentially how it could diagnose things like this in the future. We obviously talk about all their premium features, and anyone who has a Fitbit needs to have a look at all of that. I encourage you to do that. There is a huge amount of information here. Now, we talk deep about data. We talk about the products. We talk about the ECG feature. When the heck is that coming to Australia? But Sean was very generous with his time, and we absolutely thank him for that. Now, without further ado, please welcome Sean Colligan, Fitbit's Regional Director for Australia and New Zealand, to Technology Uncorked. Sean, welcome to the show. In your own words, how would you describe a Fitbit? Is it a wearable? Do you call it a smartwatch? Is it a fitness tracker? There's so many different ways you can look at it these days.
Well, it's a really good question. So, you know, a lot of people talk to the category as wearables. And, you know, we would define that at Fitbit as a range of products from trackers through to smart health watches, which really give meaningful insights and data back to our customers. So it covers the spectrum, to be perfectly honest.
I think that's a good way of putting it too, because you do have, you know, some of the most simplest, step trackers and things like that for kids that they can be wearing. But then you've now got products like the Versa and the Sense, which really build on that. And I think, you know, what was realistically once a pedometer, I mean, I remember the first Fitbit that I had, it was something I used to clip onto my belt, and it was really small dongle, and it really would just tell you your steps, and you could just tap it and it would sync with your phone. It was the most basic kind of pedometer. But now we're talking about a full-blown wellness device, really. And when you look at the feature list on the Sense, for example, it's extraordinary. Can you talk to us a little bit about the new range from Fitbit?
Absolutely. So we launched three products most recently on the 25th of September. So we're talking about Inspire 2, which is what we would call a tracker. So it's part of the Inspire franchise that we've had in market for quite some time. It's extremely popular. It's obviously a small form factor, very stylish, heart rate, and of course, all of the exercise programs that you'd expect from Fitbit. That also comes with 12 months free premium services built into that offer. So great value for our customers on their journey. And that could be somebody who's entering the marketplace or somebody who just loves that form factor and is continuing with the evolution of that particular device range. Then you've got the Versa 3, which builds on our most successful smartwatch family range, the Versa family. So we've had Versa Lite, Versa 2, and now Versa 3, which has got additional sensors. It's got GPS, for example, built into it. And that really caters for people who are looking for a more smartwatch, more of a smartwatch environment, but also, again, with the ability In this instance, you can actually opt in and pay for premium services to get really incredible insights into their overall health and well-being. And at the top of our range, we've just introduced Fitbit Sense. And this is where we've really, again, brought a first to market. It's our first real high-end smart health watch. We've added in an EDA sensor to help check with skin temperature. We've added in ECG capability, which is coming soon. We've also added in a real focus on stress as one of our key four pillars. So, you know, we've been well known for what we call a fit body, you know, your overall activity, improving your overall health outcomes. We were first to launch sleep in 15, and we're really now a world leader in that area. With EDA, we're also now focused very much on your overall health of your brain, if you like, mental health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And that's another first for Fitbit. And then, of course, you've got Fitbit Heart in terms of Fit Heart. So additional multipath sensors, driving our Pure Pulse 2.0 to give an even richer experience in terms of your overall heart health. These are these four pillars that we look at as the future of fit. So you've had all of these innovation with Sense, but you've also had our mainstream Versa family, Evolution Continue with Versa 3, and likewise with our trackers with Inspire 2.
And I've been looking at the entire collection and even just browsing the website yesterday as I was thinking about this interview. The way I look at it is, you're right, is that you have got something for mostly every price point, as well as almost every type of person that will be looking at something from Fitbit. And it made me wonder with the Sense, given it is essentially a new SKU in the lineup from last year, was there any thought as to why this would be a separate product in itself and not just be the new Versa? Was it a price consideration that you had to take into account there?
I think it's a fairly normal business practice to bringing your new innovations and technology into your high-end devices, as it were. You know, when we introduced heart rate to the wrist with Charge HR, that was a top-end tracker. And through time, you will see a lot of these technologies then move through the range. So there's still an awful lot of innovation within Versa 3. But again, to your point, we do look at making, you know, our health and well-being ecosystem and experience from Fitbit accessible to everybody. So I'd expect you'll see some of the innovation then come through the portfolio over time.
Okay. And then when we think about COVID and, you know, realistically since March, it's changed the game for a lot of people. I mean, for me, I haven't been back to the office since March. I've been working from home. You know, it's brought a huge amount of challenges for businesses. And what we certainly saw straight away was Fitbit react and make some things from the premium features free, for example, which was amazing that people could start making use of as we start to work out from home, and especially when gyms were closed and things like that. What has COVID done for your business? When you think about Fitbit in general, it would appear like wellness and fitness has become more and more important.
It has, and I think everybody is a lot more conscious of being in a lockdown and the stresses it puts on yourself as an individual, and also, you know, general well-being. So you look at stress management as, you know, the new addition to our Fitbit Sense, never more important. Fitbit's gone beyond that. We've obviously collaborated with a number of global research programs as well, with Stanford and Scripps. So actively participating as a good global corporate citizen towards the development of data and research and programs towards helping people who potentially are showing symptoms of COVID. So that capability is now within our technology. So, you know, we're almost in a position now where we can allow customers, through the biometric measures that we're producing from the wrist onto the app, you know, look at the early symptoms of fever-like, COVID-like, if you like. What's the right word? Sorry, Jeff.
That's all right.
So those symptoms now can present themselves on the app, and we can actually, you know, 1 or 2 days before somebody starts to come down with a fever, predict what's happening there through the biometric measures that we can actually collect.
Wow.
We also, you know, as a company, have an incredible design technology team, great manufacturing capability. So we actually produced a low-cost ventilator called Fitbit Flow, which is made accessible, really easy to use. It got FDA emergency approval. So that's another element of Fitbit contributing back to the community. And then when it comes to the individual themselves, having premium free for our customers for that 90-day period of trial, when you're stuck at home, it's often hard to motivate yourself to get up, move around, to do some exercise. So, you know, premium gives you a lot of additional content that you can then, you know, do a one-to-one coaching exercise in the, you know, comfort of your own house if you're not able to get out and about and go to your gym. So, you know, a combination of all of those elements is really what talks to Fitbit. One of the reasons I love working for this company is how much it actually gives back to its customers, but also to the community in general.
And it's one of the great points to mention too, because you've spoken about premium a couple of times today, and it's something that I've really been paying attention to. And you know, when you see some of the competitors that you've got in the market, almost in some ways try and add some levels that you do already have in premium. You know, things like the workouts is something that I call out a lot. And you know, those video workouts that people can follow, whether you've got no equipment or some equipment, you can essentially find a video workout that you can follow, and they're very good. And I guess, Sean, in your opinion, why would someone sign up to premium? And I guess the best part of this question is, are you seeing a large number of customers doing so, especially this year?
Yes, indeed. So there are over 500,000 Fitbitters who've opted into paying for premium. Beyond the free trial customers who are using it on a day-to-day basis, which is great.
Yeah.
What premium really gives you in a number of core areas, if you talk about heart health, brain health, or if you like mental health, wellness, and your body and your sleep, is a real abundance of content to help you improve your health outcomes in any of and all of those areas. So if it's as simple as you want to lose weight, within our Fitbit ecosystem, you've obviously got the device, you've got the app, you've also got scales, but then you can go into premium and get some great exercise plans, nutrition plans. You can log all of the data that you're producing, whether you put in your calories burned in terms of your food intake. And then you get the motivation through the insights and, you know, the prompts to encourage you to continue on your journey. And, you know, customers who use those services within the ecosystem get better results. And that's what it's all about.
And it's so important to say that, too, because I think when people buy a Fitbit and all that they're really tracking is that they hit their 10,000 steps per day, I ask them if they even know about all the extra features that are actually inside that Fitbit app, because it's loaded with data, and there's so much insight that you can actually pull out. Now, I'm using the premium features as well, and it's amazing just how much I can dig into my sleep data, my heart rate and things like that. And what I love to do is actually even scroll back to my wedding day. You know, years ago, I wore a Fitbit on my wedding day, and I can see what my heart rate was like throughout that day. And it certainly spiked like crazy the minute that my now wife was walking down the aisle. And it's amazing to sort of see how I pretty much maintained a pretty high heart rate throughout the rest of that day. And then eventually it did taper off. But, you know, I love that. And I guess for a lot of people, we're all using the data differently. And I think, you know, I'd love to know from your perspective, different examples where you're seeing that data and that richness of data being used to help people.
Yeah, and I can talk to about myself as well. So that's a wonderful story, Jeff. And for myself, when we, you know, pioneered back in 2015 sleep and adding that quality of data to the app with then sleep stages and then a sleep score, I was absolutely obsessed with that. And I still look at the quality of my sleep every day. It's so important for you. And it's something that a lot of people neglect in their overall well-being and health outcomes. And now adding the EDA sensor and to the Fitbit Sense, we've added stress and stress management and a stress management score, which you can also reflect on and add your own mood patterns and reflection in the app. And that's become my new norm now. So I check my my mental health score and in terms of being brain fit, and then I check my sleep score religiously every morning. One of the other things that some of the great feedback that I get is often the simple stuff, where you meet somebody who's got a Fitbit and, you know, they're going through a stage in their life where they were not happy with where they were in their general health, and they just adopted a simple nutrition plan for weight loss. They, you know, they have the scales in the ecosystem, and they will talk to you for hours on end about how it's changed their life, their whole life, you know, their interaction with their family, friends, kids, the fact that they can get out and about and join in the activities that they weren't able to do because of they were, you know, overweight. And of course, that's the whole drive of the Fitbit ecosystem from the founders, James and Eric, 13 years ago. It was all about how do you make everybody healthier around the world. And that's where it started with the steps. Now we've actually moved on, you know, through heart health, and you can look at your body as well through active zone minutes. And that's really about increasing the intensity of the type of work you do, from taking your normal walk to then getting into a bit more strenuous exercise. So that actually is an evolution from where we started off 13 years ago in that one particular metric. So I've got lots of wonderful stories about how it's actually, Fitbit has brought positive change to our customers and enhanced their overall lifestyle through focusing on their health and well-being, which is what we're all about.
Absolutely. I'm almost just sitting here thinking, I wonder how many kilos has been lost by people wearing Fitbits. And, you know, I'm sure that if everybody was actually calculating their weight or sharing that data inside Fitbit, you would have a pretty good picture of that. And I just imagine you've actually made the world a lighter place by having all of these products in the market.
Yeah, there is so much data available in Fitbit. And I think that's one of the great beauties of the company. It's, you know, by far one of the largest biometric databases on the planet. You know, we've got over 30 million active customers, and over time we've sold over 100 million devices. All of that data then goes into a central repository where we can compare you to your demographic age group around the world and how you're performing in terms of your cardiovascular fitness, you know, where you sit in your overall general health and well-being. And yes, I'm sure there must be plenty of data around where customers are logging their weight program through, weight loss program through their scales, where that also is collected back at base.
That's amazing. Now, look, I went for a COVID test yesterday. I got the results just early this morning. I'm all clear. That's fine. But while I was there, it was my first time going for one, and I was so tempted to just ask them if it would help if I just gave them access somehow to my Fitbit data, if I showed them what my data is inside the app. And it started to make me think a lot as to whether this is something we could start to do later on, whereby, you know, I have a direct connection with my local GP where, you know, he's getting a daily intake of all of my Fitbit data, seeing my average heart rate throughout every day and things like that. And whether this could actually become something that we use as a diagnosis tool. And I want to sort of get your thoughts as to whether this is a step we could eventually take where our GP could ask us for a week's worth of Fitbit data.
First of all, I'm really glad to hear you tested negatively, Jeff. I mean, that's first and foremost the most important thing. We do actually within our app, within Premium, have health reports. So you can actually, and a lot of people do this, and I'm probably very much of the norm. I won't go to the doctors for months and months, maybe even years. It's only if I feel a little bit sick. And a doctor only sees you, therefore, for 30 minutes potentially out of a whole year. So within our capability, it's already within the apps. You can print off through PDF or even email that PDF to your doctor, and it'll have all of those core data points. You know, how's your heart rate been over the last 30, 90 days? How's your sleep patterns and so on and so forth? So that's actually already there. It's important to remember, we're not there for a diagnosis. What we're there for is to provide that data in a meaningful and simple way to use for our customers. And then that information can be presented to your doctor, who's the expert, and can look at those patterns and history. Let's say heart health and sleep, two big big core ones. And they then can look at that information, your histogram, for example, and they can actually make assessments from it, which is obviously what they do. And they can recommend various courses of action. So that capability is there. And you can actually, as I mentioned, get a PDF and or send that PDF or take it with you to the doctor on your next checkup.
I'm going to have to keep that one in mind, actually. I may do that and just see what reaction I get from my GP when I turn up with a little portfolio of my history. I think that would be amazing to get his reaction to that. And Sean, I have to ask, because you did mention ECG before, and you know, in Australia, I think anyone who's bought a wearable device, they hear about ECG becoming available soon. I don't know if a lot of people even know why they want the ECG feature, but I think because it's being advertised, it's something that people are waiting for. And every brand is starting to move down this path. And whether we like it or not, it almost seems like it's a bit of a race on who's going to be first to get the ECG feature through the TGA. And knowing I'm fully aware that it's a long and arduous process to go through with the TGA, but can you give us a bit of insight as to perhaps when the Sense might have ECG?
Oh, well, that's the magic question. So I'm pleased to say, you know, within the US and Europe, the approvals are through. So our customers are able to use that functionality. And obviously, we've submitted our information to the TGA. And it is basically for us now to wait as the device, which is literally the software is a medical device, not the hardware, but they all interact together, of course. That has to go through that process, Jeff. Yeah. So I couldn't give you a specific timeline, but I'm very much hoping it will be in the not too distant future.
Okay. Looking forward to it, because I think it's one of those things. I think once we've got it, I actually don't know how often people are going to be using it unless there's a need for it. It just seems that there's this real desire that because we don't have it yet, people are barking mad wanting to have this feature that people are still trying to figure out what it actually means. But Sean, when we look at competition, clearly Fitbit has a number of competitors, and it was only a couple of weeks ago that I heard from one of your competitors talking about adding effectively fitness videos like you've already got inside Premium. And I wanted to sort of get your gauge on when you see competitors announce new products or new features, especially ones that you may have already had, perhaps for years, like sleep tracking, especially very good sleep tracking. Do you take joy from seeing Fitbit first appear elsewhere, or do you try to focus more just on your own roadmap and let the competitors catch up as they need to?
I think competition is really important, and it's great. It's great for the overall outcomes for our customers and for the industry as a whole, and what it means to, you know, what is really core to Fitbit, which is improving health and well-being outcomes for our customers. I take great pride in the fact that we've had a number of world firsts, you know, bringing back to putting the EDA sensor into Fitbit Sense is another one. And that focus on stress management, again, is a real core attribute to where we come from as a company, as Fitbit. I mentioned sleep and how we pioneered, and now we're a clear leader there. And, you know, one of the things we focus on right at the center of everything we do is our customers. And that is all about their health and their well-being. So all of the technology and innovation that we add to the Fitbit ecosystem is all about improving those outcomes for our customers. Take a very simple thing like having an up to 6 days worth of battery life means that you can wear your Fitbits and you can wear them 24/7. You can then track your sleep properly. Now, again, this is, you know, a very simple thing. And now with Versa 3 and with Sense, you can, if you're running out of battery, a quick 12-minute charge gives you a whole day's worth of battery life. These are really small incremental things, but they're actually really important at being able to collect the data from the wrist for our customers and then present it back in a really simple and meaningful way and give our customers insight. So I take a great deal of pride in what the company is all about in that innovation space and being first to market on quite a few of these new technologies like EDA. But again, it comes back to the core, which is what we do at Fitbit, which is innovate around our customers' needs.
And the battery life measure that you just mentioned is something that always sticks with me, because I love to try different wearables, and I absolutely love to see where the technology goes, but charging a watch every day just does not appeal to me at all. And you know, whether it's 5 days or 6 days, as we're now seeing, that's bearable. It's something I can do while I'm working, take off my watch for an hour, and then put it back on again. I don't feel like I'm missing out on collecting data throughout my day by just having a short charge, you know, once a week effectively. So that's another good point too, Sean. And there are plenty of other products in the Fitbit range. And you mentioned the scales as well, the Aria. And they're now in their second iteration as well. I've for a number of years had a was a Nokia, well now it's called Withings Wi-Fi scale, which I've been using on a weekly basis, where I just jump on it, check in, and then I've got, you know, data going back to an app in the same way that the Aria scale does work. Unfortunately, it doesn't integrate with my Fitbit app, which is where most of my actual data actually sits. And it'd be great where I wouldn't have to actually manually enter in that data every time, or just buy an Aria scale. But do you think Fitbit will open up more integrations over time? I know that there's already a number of partnerships that you've got with different apps and things like that. Where do you see that going?
Yes, and look, we can go offline and look at how we can get that information for you moved across. I've done a little bit of Googling myself this morning on that one, so I've not used the particular device in question. But yes, I think, you know, as part of the evolution of our app experience, we are introducing content and information from third-party apps. And it's a big part of what we are as a company as well, being open to working across multiple platforms. As you know, we work across iOS and, of course, Android. Yeah. And that increases our ability to bring in third-party apps and content. So I think it's a big part of what we stand for as a company. That openness and capability, and not having a closed ecosystem.
I love that. I love that. And it's a really good point that you do mention around it working on both platforms, because, you know, for someone like myself who's testing a different phone usually once a week, it's nice that I could just download the Fitbit app on any device that I'm using to still synchronize data and things like that. So thank you for that from my own perspective. Now, Sean, the rest of the questions are really about yourself. It's really more to hear a bit about yourself, what makes you tick, and the technology in your life. And the first one, it's an easy one, I hope. What's your favorite app to keep you organized?
I read the question, Jeff, and I think it's really cool, because I'm living my life on Zoom land at the moment. So I tend to find that my Microsoft Diary calendar is what I'm organizing myself around all of the time.
Yeah.
If I talk about what other apps I use all of the time, it would be Twitter, because I love keeping up with global news feeds. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm messaging across my friends' platform, it's just quite this nice little simple app called WhatsApp, which I think pretty much everybody uses.
Yes.
I would say that it's really my Microsoft platform that I use to keep myself organized.
And I guess probably the answer to the second question, which is your favorite social media app, would you say it's Twitter?
It is, yes, definitely. So as I say, I'm addicted to keeping up with global news. So that's one of my primary feeds. It keeps me in touch with my homeland, where I was originally born in the UK, in England. Mm-hmm. So that's what I will dive into on a daily basis.
Nice. And when you do have 5 minutes to spare between meetings, what's the first thing that you want to do on your phone?
I will check my messages for sure, because there's an awful lot of emails coming through, and then with friends chat just on WhatsApp, just to catch up with my group of friends.
Yeah. And look, this is the fourth question. I do ask everybody this one, but I feel silly asking somebody from Fitbit this one, but do you wear a smartwatch or a traditional timepiece?
I was a big traditional timepiece lover. I love watches in general. Mm-hmm. I haven't worn a watch now for the 4.5 years I've been within Fitbit.
Yes, that makes sense.
I always wear my latest device. So I've got my Fitbit Sense on at the moment and loving it. Mm-hmm. But yes, I love traditional timepieces.
Okay. And when we used to fly, when you used to jump on airplanes and do those sort of things, would you use the in-flight entertainment system, or would you bring your own tablet?
I was always using the in-flight entertainment system.
Interesting. And Sean, what do you love to do to disconnect? How do you get away from all the technology in your life?
I bought a dog, a puppy for my my two boys for Christmas.
Oh, nice!
It's been a bit of a lifesaver actually, with all of the lockdowns and stuff. So she doesn't let me sit still for a minute. So when I get a break in my day, I take the dog for a couple of walks, and that's my downtime, which is lovely.
I love that. I love that. And I mean, this show is called Technology Uncorked, and the Tuesday episodes, we do interviews with people like yourself. And then on Thursdays, we talk about the news and reviews of the week. And I'm usually doing that over a glass of wine. And, you know, Sean, we can be together in person today, but if we were at a bar together, what would be your go-to?
If I can get it, my favorite wine is Rockford Basket Press Shiraz from the Barossa Valley, which I absolutely adore. But you can't really get it anywhere at the moment. If it's just a casual drink, maybe on a hot day, a gin and tonic, or maybe even one of the craft beers. So I like a bit of everything, but my favorite would have to be my Shiraz.
Oh, and the Basket Press has got to be one of the highlights of going to the Barossa. It was it's an amazing bottle of wine. It's not cheap, but it's absolutely sensational. And if anybody listening has not tried it, it's a stunning wine. And for me, it's usually something I'll have with a beautiful steak. But great suggestion, Sean.
That's me too.
Right, and that is the last question for me. And honestly, thank you so much for coming on the show. We can't wait to hear continually how Fitbit's evolving and changing people's lives. And honestly, thank you for the insight today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Jeff. It's been great to speak to you.
Thank you, Sean.